Well, good morning. Good morning. It's so good to see all of you this morning. You know, I am hyped about today. I am. This is going to be a phenomenal day. Number one, we got an extra hour of light. I know we lost an hour of sleep, but in Pittsburgh, can I get an amen for a little extra sunlight up in this place? Yeah, a little vitamin D, extra vitamin D. I know I need it for sure. I'm hyped. Spring is here. Warm weather is coming. It's going to be a good day. We got baptisms today. Can we get a little shout out for baptisms? One of the coolest, most awesome moments that we get to experience as believers and as a part of the church. It's Baptism Sunday here at True North Church, our very first baptisms. We got a little social action going on after church. We're going to have some lunch, have some fellowship, build some community. But most of all, I am hyped because we are starting a brand new series this morning. And I got to tell you something. I love talking about Jesus. If you are new, you are going to hear this early and you are going to hear it often. I love Jesus. I love talking about how he's changed my life, and I love talking about how he can change yours. And so I don't know what you came into this place with this morning. I don't know what baggage you've walked in here with. But I know this. I know that Jesus wants you to go out of this place free from all of that. He does. He wants you to walk out of this place changed. He wants you to walk out of this place with a new perspective on some things. He wants you to walk out of this place free from the religiousness that I think pervades so many of our lives and so much of our culture. Do you realize this? That Jesus Christ came to flip religion on its head. In fact, Jesus hates religion. Yeah, the pastor just said that. Jesus doesn't like religion. He hates it because here's what religion does to us. Religion heaps burden on us. Religion says, do more, perform more. And Jesus comes along and says, no. I came to bring something very new, something very different from what has ever been before. I want to bring something new to your life. I want to bring some freedom to your life that maybe you didn't even realize was possible. And he does it, this is what I love about Jesus, he does it in the most dramatic way possible. He looks at what has always been, how it's always been done, and he comes over here and says, no. I got a brand new way, a radical way for you to look at this thing. See, what Jesus does in almost every conceivable way is he loves to drop the mic. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before, but I'll educate you this morning if you haven't. To drop the mic simply means this: to say something in an argument, say something in a moment while you're performing that just leaves people speechless, right? When you drop the mic, you leave people awestruck, like, what? What just happened, right? You just got served, right? Jesus did this all the time. Nobody did it better than Jesus. He was the very first guy to drop the mic. And so we're starting a brand new series today that we're calling Drop the Mic. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus over the next several weeks. And we're going to look at some moments in his life where he dropped the mic on people. And it changed the world forever. You see, the truth today is this. Is that there's some of you in the room today, in a room this size with this many people, who you need to have the mic dropped on you. And in a healthy, good way. You see, I think there's so many people going through this life, and this breaks my heart. So many people going through this life, and they don't really know who the real Jesus is. They've been taught something by someone, and it was a lie, or they didn't know what they were talking about. It wasn't the truth. Or maybe they had a church experience where they were burned They were taught something, they experienced something that wasn't the truth of Jesus, that wasn't the truth of his gospel. And what I want to do in this series is I want to drop the mic on some of that. I want to point to Jesus and the way that he dropped the mic on some of those things. And I want some of us in this room today maybe to walk out of here with a new perspective about who Jesus is, about his love for you, and about what he wants for you. Not what he wants from you, but what he wants for you. And so today, as we begin, I want to start with this question. When you think about God, why is it that you believe in him or you don't believe in him? Because I'm not naive enough to believe that everyone in the room really believes in God. If you do believe, why do you believe? And if you don't, why don't you? What has happened along the course of your life to lead you to where you're at right here in this moment? And I can only speak for myself, but here's why I believe in God. And this is maybe going to come as a radical statement to some people, but it's not because of this book. This is an incredibly important book, and there is so much truth in here for your life, this thing called the Bible. It is vitally important, and I encourage everyone to read it, but this book is not the reason that I believe in God. This book points to the reason that I believe in God. You see, I believe in God because of a man named Jesus Christ, who proved to me in every conceivable way that he is God, and that if I will surrender my life to him and give my life to him, he will change everything. That is why I believe in God. I believe in God because of a man, Jesus Christ, and an event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why I believe in God. But I think there's so many people who are hung up. They're struggling. They're on the fence. They're not sure if they can buy into this whole thing. And that breaks my heart, because I know how he's changed my life, and I know how he can change yours. And so today we're going to look at the very first mic drop moment in the life of Jesus and in this series. We're going to actually be in the book of Luke. It's the third gospel. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open up there. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen and you can follow along there. But I just want to preface, before we even get into that, just what these gospels are, because I think this is really important information. The four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are the books that chronicle the life of Jesus, his ministry, all the things that he did, the miracles that he did, just his whole life. And whether you realize it or not, each one of the gospels was written by a different person, and they each have a very different theme. The book of Matthew, the gospel of Matthew, that word gospel just means the good news. The good news of Matthew is that he wants people to understand that Jesus is this messianic king, that he came from the line of David. It's the gospel that is written specifically for the Jews so that they will understand the lineage of where Christ came from. It brought validity to who he was. This just wasn't some random guy. No, this is a man who came from the line of David. Then there's the book of Mark. Mark's emphasis is on Jesus being the Son of Man to show what it looks like to be human in perfection. Jesus was fully human and fully God, so he was fully human. When you look at Jesus, that's what a human being is supposed to look like and act like. This is Mark's gospel. I'm going to skip over to John before I come back to Luke. John, his emphasis, his theme was that the Word of God came into this world in the form of Jesus Christ. He became flesh, John says. His gospel is all about showing the deity of Jesus, that he is God, part of the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all born out of this thing called the Word. And then finally, there's this gospel of Luke. And Luke is my personal favorite. I love the gospel of Luke. And Luke's theme, his primary message is this, that Jesus came to seek and to save lost people. And that just resonates so much with me, because I'm telling you right now, I was so lost. So lost, I didn't even know it. And there are still days when I find myself wandering away and getting a little bit lost. And yet here's my encouragement to you today, that you are never so far lost that Jesus cannot find you. And so today I want to look at this mic drop moment in Luke chapter 15. And I believe that for somebody in the room today, this could change your whole perspective about Jesus and who he is. Let's take a look at this. I encourage you, let's read along together. First, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" And so we've got this scene, right? Jesus is sitting, teaching, and he's gathered this crowd around him. It says, tax collectors and sinners. And I love that it says, he welcomes them. He welcomed them into his presence. It wasn't like he just was okay with them being there. It wasn't like he was, you know, saying, okay, I guess I'll let them stick around. No, and to welcome somebody means to invite them. He invited the tax collectors and the sinners to come and to sit with him. Now, I always found it interesting that they differentiate the general sinners from the tax collectors, right? I mean, why not just say the sinners, right? Because the tax collectors are also sinners. There's a reason. They call out the tax collectors all the time in the Gospels. For a very specific reason. The tax collectors were like the lowest of the low. I mean, they could not have been more hated, not only by the religious people, these Pharisees, but by everybody for the most part. Even the sinners looked at the tax collectors and were like, dude. And the reason is this, is that in that time, in that government, Rome ruled. And what the Roman government would do is they wouldn't get their own Roman citizens to go collect taxes from different nations. They would get somebody from their own nation. And so they'd go to the nation of Israel. They'd find somebody who was willing to basically betray his entire country and make them a tax collector. And so the tax collectors in Israel and in Rome were hated because they were basically sellouts. Like, you are robbing your own people. And this is what the tax collectors would do. They would take their little piece for Rome and they would give that to them, but they'd also take a little bit off the top too for themselves. And so they were getting rich off of their own people. No wonder nobody liked them, right? These were the lowest of the low. And so when the Pharisees discover that Jesus is not only hanging out with these guys, but he's welcoming them, he's inviting them to hang out with him, they start to mutter, are you kidding me with this guy? Like, dude, can you believe he's hanging out with these people? You're not supposed to hang out with people like that. This guy's claiming that he's this great teacher, this holy man, this rabbi. I've even heard these crazy claims that he's God himself, and he's hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. You gotta be kidding me. That's not who holy people, righteous people are supposed to be hanging out with. But you know, Jesus is so smart. Oh, he's so smart. He hears this muttering going on. He knows exactly what's going on in their heart. And in the way that only Jesus can, he tells this parable, this story, right? It's a made-up, fictional story to illustrate a point. And this is what he says. It says, "Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" So Jesus begins telling this story about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. He loses one of those sheep. And when he loses it, the first thing he does is leave all of the rest of them and go after this one sheep. Now, the first thing we need to understand here is that right off the bat, Jesus is attacking the cultural norm of the day. Just like tax collectors were lowly in society, shepherds, same deal. It was like the lowest job you could have. And the Pharisees looked at it even more lowly for this reason. Shepherds had to stay with their sheep all the time, 7 days a week. They didn't get a break because sheep need to be watched at all times or they will wander off. And so that made these shepherds in the Pharisees' eyes what they considered to be unclean. Why? Because they broke the Sabbath. No, you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. If you're working 7 days a week, you're unclean. You're not righteous. You're not worthy of God. And so for Jesus to ask these Pharisees to put themselves in the shoes of a shepherd would have been incredibly insulting. So insulting. And so he begins with this aspect of this. Imagine that you are a shepherd. He says, suppose one of you has. Do you know what that tells me? That this shepherd was not just simply a hired hand, but these sheep were his. And that's significant. The sheep were his sheep. He knows these sheep well. They are valuable to him because this is his livelihood. They aren't just somebody else's sheep. He knows every last bit of each one of those 100 sheep. He knows the blemishes that they have, their color schemes, the cracks in their hooves. He knows everything about these sheep. They are his. And so when he discovers that one of them is gone, he's not just like, whatever. You know, it's somebody else's sheep. If we lose one, no big deal. No, it says that he goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. Those two words, go after, they say something. Read between the lines. This wasn't just like a leisurely stroll to find this sheep. No, he went after it with intensity. He did everything he could to find that sheep. Over mountains, down into the valleys, through the darkest parts of the terrain, through cracks and crevices, whether it was crazy hot or freezing cold, he went after that sheep, and there was nothing that was going to stop him from getting to it. And so Jesus, he paints this picture. Paints this picture of a shepherd who will stop at nothing to find his sheep. But then he goes on. He says, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors and together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And so he searches and he searches and searches. And when he finally comes upon the sheep, what does it say? It says that he had joy, that he joyfully put it on his shoulders. Now, here's something we need to understand about sheep. Sheep are dumb, really dumb. I'm sorry if there's any PETA people in the room, but they're not smart animals. That's just the bottom line. And when a sheep wanders away, half the time they don't even realize it. It's like they wake up one moment and it's like, nobody's around. I'm all by myself. And yet they don't try to go back to the shepherd. They just keep on sauntering away. And eventually what happens with these sheep is they get tired. And they'll lay down in the grass. And here's the thing about sheep. Sometimes sheep will lay down and they will like roll over. And if that happens, guess what? They can't get up. They're stuck there. And there's nothing they can do about it. And when that happens, guess what? They are in big trouble. Number one, any kind of predator could come along and just take them out. Right? So if there's any predators around at all, the sheep is done. But just as importantly, even if there are no predators around, eventually that sheep is going to die. It's going to lay there flipped, upside down, totally helpless. And there's nothing that that sheep can do about it. And so the intensity with which the shepherd is searching for this sheep comes out of that, comes out of the helplessness of that sheep, that there are wolves out there looking to devour that sheep, that if I don't find this sheep as soon as possible, there could be devastating consequences. And so when the shepherd finally shows up, finally finds this sheep, he has great joy. Because he has found it before it's too late. Now, I don't know about you. I think after searching all day and potentially all night, I would have been pretty ticked off when I found that stupid sheep. I would have looked at that sheep and I probably would have been like, dude, when we get home, you're going to be a nice stew in a cardigan. That's what I would have said. But that's not what the shepherd does here. The shepherd picks up the sheep, puts the sheep on his shoulders, and it says he carries him all the way home. Now, I don't know how much you know about sheep. I didn't know this, but apparently a fully grown sheep can weigh up to 100 pounds. I don't know if you've ever tried to put 100 pounds on your back before and carry it for any distance at all, but that's a lot of weight. And the shepherd's already been searching for who knows how long. My guess is, we don't know this for sure, but it says that when he found the sheep, he took it home, which means he didn't go back to where the other sheep were. Why? Because it's probably super late at night. It's dark. He's been traveling all day long, and he just wants to go home, right? But he doesn't make the sheep walk, does he? He knows that the sheep is weak. He knows that he's been out all day. He's been separated from the rest of the flock, and what he does is he puts it on his shoulders and he carries it home. This is what the shepherd does. The shepherd carries the sheep when the sheep can't walk any longer. And then Jesus finishes out the story. And this is where he just drops it like it's hot. And I love this. I love how Jesus makes his point so eloquently. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You see, the joy comes from finding the lost thing. God, Jesus, he loves to find lost things. The shepherd was joyful when he found the sheep. He wasn't upset or angry or frustrated, even though he had every right to be. No, he was excited. He had joy when he found that sheep because that sheep was lost and now it's been found. And the Pharisees, these religious people, their entire life, here's what they've been taught. It's the righteous people that God has joy over. It's the good people that brings God joy. And Jesus takes this and he flips it upside down. And he says, no. No, what brings me joy is when my sheep, when they recognize their great need for me, the shepherd, and they come back to me and they surrender to me and they let me carry them home. That's what brings your heavenly Father joy. It's not the people who think they have it all together. And that's what's so crazy about this. He says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The reality is this. There is no one that doesn't need to repent. We are all at some point lost and need to be found. And Jesus is essentially looking at these Pharisees and he's saying this. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous punks who don't think they need to repent. That's what he's saying to them. Your stuff stinks too, guys. And you need a Savior. And here's why I want you to understand this. Because it is only in surrendering to Him, it is only in allowing Him to carry you that you will truly become strong. That you will truly be able to go through this life with the freedom that I want to give you. Because as long as you think you got it all together, guess what? I can't help you. I can't. But if you will surrender, I will give you more than you ever dreamed possible. Surrender to me like a sheep who is lost. And I will carry you. Jesus came to seek and to save. Jesus came to seek and to save. Who did he come to seek and to save? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The lost. Not the righteous, not the people who have it all together, because no one does. And what does that mean? That means he came for everybody. No matter how messed up of a past you have. He came for everyone. I love the way that Luke 19:10 puts this. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's the message today. I don't know what you've been taught in church before. I don't know what you've believed about who God is, about who Jesus is, but I am telling you this. Jesus came for you. He came to seek you. He relentlessly pursues you, and he will never stop until you either turn to him or this world comes to an end. He will pursue you relentlessly. Why? Because like the shepherd loves his sheep, he loves you so very much. He will do anything he can to find you. He will go down the darkest alley into the deepest depths of your despair to find you. And he will never quit. That is so comforting to me. Because even today, after 30-some years of following Jesus, I still wonder. Anybody else get lost from time to time? Need to be reminded that Jesus will never stop seeking after me, will never stop looking for me? He loves us. He will never stop coming after us. And when he finds us, there is so much joy in his heart. So much joy. Why? Why does he care so much? I've come to realize this, and it hasn't come easily. But Jesus sees what I could be, not what I am. He sees what I could be. He sees what you could be. He doesn't see you as you are. I've been watching this show on Netflix called Rust Valley Restores. I don't know if anybody's seen it. It's kind of a weird, quirky show. But they go into these old junkyards and they find these old, beat up, rusty cars. I mean, cars that don't look like they could ever be restored. And by the end of the show, they take like this old Mustang and they make it look brand new. They make it look like its original condition. Don't miss this. Jesus looks at all of us the way that they look at an old beat up car. Yeah, it might not be all shiny and new and fresh right now, but I see the potential. I see what it could be. And if you will just allow me to, I will restore you. I will bring you back to your original factory condition. And my fear is this, is that there are so many people going through this life. So many people wandering and wondering, do I have to clean myself up to be acceptable to Jesus? Because that's what I've been told. You're not welcome in the church unless you clean yourself up first. And once you do that, then you can come in here and then you're welcome. Can I just tell you, that's a load of religious, and I'm going to clean this up for Sunday, BC. It is. That's just a bunch of religiousness that wants to heap burden on you and make you feel like you got to do more and perform more. But that's not the gospel. Jesus came to bring something new. This is what Jesus says. Religion says, clean yourself up and then you'll be welcomed. Jesus says, all are welcome. And if you'll surrender to me, I will help you clean up. There is a huge difference. Huge difference. Jesus says, I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how many blemishes you have. I don't care how much dirt you got on you. I don't care how many sins you have in your life. You are welcome here. And if you will come here, I will begin to help you work on your stuff. If you will surrender to me, if you'll give your life to me, we'll take care of that stuff. I will make you new. I will make you clean. That's the gospel. That's the real Jesus. And so today, I don't know what your church background has been. I don't know what your story looks like. I don't know if somebody somewhere along the way told you something about what you had to be and look like in order to be acceptable and welcomed into the kingdom. But Jesus says there's just one thing you got to do. Surrender to the Good Shepherd. Surrender to me and let me carry you and begin to experience having me lift you up. Me being up underneath of you, holding you up. John 10:11 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us. When? While we were still sinners. Not after we got things all cleaned up and shiny in our life. And so today I want you to hear this. If you've never surrendered to Christ because you heard something along the way that was not true, I implore you today, surrender yourself to him. Give him your life. Allow him to clean you up. He will work on you at his pace and at your pace. You will make progress with him at his pace and at your pace. But don't take another day away from him. And if you call yourself a Jesus follower, I want to challenge you with two things. One, to never forget the Good Shepherd. To never forget what he has done for you. Because it is so easy, isn't it? Come on, those of us who've been walking with Jesus for a while now, isn't it really easy to start to kind of get sucked back into the, well, I've got to do more, I got to perform more? We should never stop letting the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace change us. To remind us every single day, to pull us back in. That when we get flipped over and we get flipped upside down in life, to remember that he is going to be there to pick us up and carry us. And it is only through that that we are made righteous and good. But I also want to challenge you with this. If you understand that, if you know that, then we have a responsibility as Jesus followers. You see, the truth is this: saved people seek people. Saved people seek people. If you have been saved, if Jesus has done a work in your life, if you have been found by him in his relentless pursuits, then we have a responsibility to seek people, to share the good news of the gospel with them, to show them who the real Jesus is. I don't know about you, but there are days when it's almost like, I'm okay, I'm good with Jesus saving me. I'm good, I'm comfortable here, but man, I don't know if I want to get back out there and do the seeking. Again, I implore you, Jesus followers in the room, seek to find people who are lost. Introduce them to the greatest news they will ever hear, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and watch how your world changes. We're going to sing a song here. It's a song that I know many of you know. It's a song about the amazing, incredible, reckless love of Jesus Christ in our lives. It is a song that reminds us that it does not matter how far we wander away, how lost we may think we are, what stuff we have in our life, that He is going to chase us down until we respond. Don't keep running. Don't run from Him. Surrender to Him. Would you stand with me this morning? As we sing the words of this song, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God that chases after one of us, even when there are 99 left to be taken care of. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves me. Let's sing this morning.